I have preached a number of times on this gospel because when you have people in RCIA, you always use cycle A reading. So every year, this is the reading that comes for this week in Lent. I've used it for funerals. I've used it. It shows up other times in the cycle. So I have to confess, when I opened up the lectionary 2 weeks ago to say, okay, let me start to prepare to preach, and I looked down and I saw this reading, I thought, oh man, again? What am I going to say? I'm preaching this. So I was like, okay, all right, just calm down, calm down. So I read it, all right, went away, came back, read it again, went away for a couple days, read it again. And then finally, the last verse kind of jumped off the page at me. The last verse says, "Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he had done began to believe in him." Let me say it again. "Now many of the Jews who had come to Mary and seen what he, Jesus, had done began to believe in him, Jesus." So I thought about that verse and I thought, wait a second. Why does it say many? Why doesn't it say all? Here you are, you've come out to a tomb where all the dead people are going to be buried, right? Stone is in front of the tomb. This guy walks up. He's like, yeah, he's not dead. They ridicule him. They mock him. Ha ha, very funny. He says, okay, great. Roll away the stone. Lord, it's going to smell, right? Roll it away. I don't care. Okay, Lazarus, front and center, get out. And a dead man comes walking out. But yet we're told many, not all, believe. So why is it that some people, even when they personally witness a miracle, don't believe? Thought we'd have some fun sort of examining that question today. When a miracle occurs, some people might want to say, well, there has to be some mistake or some misunderstanding. But when I went back and read the gospel, I noticed there were five different people. Two of them, sisters of Lazarus, who said Lazarus was dead. Even Martha, right? Lord, 4 days, don't do it, right? So Lazarus was dead. And along the same point, I think today, death can be kind of sterile for us, kind of distant for us. A loved one dies, and what do? You call Passalacqua, and they come, and they take your loved one away, and they prepare the body and do all things for it. Then they come and bring your loved one right here, and we have a funeral. Then they take the body away, and we go to the cemetery, and they give you the body, and we bury the body. It's kind of neat. It's kind of clean, kind of removed from the picture here. But this wasn't always the case. My parents talk about growing up in Ireland in the 50s and 60s. 1950s and 60s, right? You know, they talk about how when someone died, it was the family. The family was responsible to prepare the body. The family was the one who housed the body. And the vigil would be at the person's house. So for 2, 3, 4 days, grandma or grandpa was in your house and you kept vigil. Someone was always there praying with the person, being with around the clock praying, right? So death was very hands-on. Now go back 2,000 years ago. Passalacqua has been in business for a long time, but not that long, right? You know? So you can see even in Jesus' time, when someone died, they knew it. There would be no misunderstanding. Yet we're told many, but not all, began to believe in Jesus. Other people will argue when they witness a miracle that there has to be some natural explanation for this. There has to be a scientific, rational explanation for what we saw, but we don't believe really saw it because it'd be a miracle. We don't believe miracles. So I thought to myself, we just got back from our pilgrimage to Mexico City, and we went to the Cathedral de Guadalupe, and you had the huge tilma, Juan Diego's tilma, is hanging right up there behind the altar. And it's kind of miraculous. The material it's made of has after 40 years, should just break down and disappear. It's been around for 500 years. When you go and start looking at the colors and how they're on there and how they came about, there's no natural explanation that says how that color's got there, those pigmentations got there. When you start breaking down all the symbols and the signs, you're like, wow, it's pretty cool. The most recent thing I came across was if you take a microscope, and you focus on the pupils, you can see the image of Juan Diego, the bishop, and the other people in Mary's pupils, reflected in verse, as if it was perfectly done, right? So yet, we see this miraculous tilma, but yet, some people don't believe. I was thinking about Winter Lady of Lourdes. 150 years ago, Blessed Mother appeared in Lourdes. And since then, there's been healings at the bath, the water's there. And when you go there, there's a whole big building and it has all the miracles. And doctors and scientists have written up what happened. And some of these doctors and scientists are not believers, even after the fact, right? You know, they're like, here's what happened. We can't explain it. There's no scientific explanation, but most of them won't take the next step and say, therefore, a miracle, right? This year, we're celebrating the 100th anniversary of Our Lady of Fatima, who's right over there. And at Fatima, one of the miracles was everybody was out there, and all of a sudden, the sun started to spin, started to zigzag up in the sky. Then it started to hurl down towards the earth. People were terrified. They were jumping on the ground, trying to find cover, because they thought the sun was going to smash into the earth. If you go and Google and find the newspapers, the secular newspapers from that time, they reported this. This phenomena happened in the sky. Thousands of people at all different types of vantage points and from different distances, some people were, you know, 10, 20 miles away, all reported the same phenomena. They all saw the sun do some incredible things up in the sky. Yet, we're told, many but not all believe. One final point is the mindset of, what have you done for me lately, right? The miracles that I mentioned are 150 years old, 500 years old, 2,000 years old. Why can't there be miracles today? In fact, the kids in seventh grade a week or two asked me that. Father Jerome, how come there's no miracles today? And I say there are. There are lots of miracles today. So the church is kind of slow in giving its imprimatur on miracles because they want to make sure it truly is. The church brings in experts, brings in scientists, brings in people say, disprove this. And if they can't disprove it, then they say, we are looking at something miraculous here. When a saint is going to be canonized, there is an office in the church called the devil's advocate. The devil's advocate job is to disprove that that person is a saint. They have to do everything they can to disprove the evidence, right? Some people say it's a miracle that the church says that there are miracles, because we really do. We put a lot of effort to say this is something supernatural and not natural. I also say that people have come to me and shared their miraculous experiences. Father, here's what I saw. Father, here's what I heard. Father, here's what happened right in front of my eyes. I don't think they're crazy. They're not trying to write a book to make some money off it. They just want someone to talk to. They're usually kind of freaked out by it, and they're like, can I trust you? I'm like, sure, what do you want to talk about? I've also been called in to bless houses where paranormal activity is going on. Gotta go, bye. My mom's calling, you know? You know, how do you explain that? How do you explain things that were over there that are now all of a sudden over there and weigh a lot of weight and there's no, you know, how does that happen? I don't know. So there are miracles that happen today. All this talk of miracles and Lazarus rising from the dead is preparing us for the Easter miracle. Jesus Christ rising from the dead, conquering sin and death. And when you go through, excuse me, and you read the last parts of the gospel, the Acts of the Apostles, and the letters that you see in them, there are many, many, many references to people saying, the man that we saw crucified, put in the tomb, is now walking among us. One in particular is 1 Corinthians 15. St. Paul says, after that, Jesus appeared to more than 500 brothers at once. There's no such thing as group hallucinations. We know that individuals can have hallucinations, see, hear things, but there's no evidence that there's a group hallucination. 500 people all saw the same phenomena at the same time. That's pretty incredible. We also know that the early apostles and the early disciples and early believers gave their life up. They said, we believe that Christ appeared to us. We believe that when we die, we too arise again. So you want to put me to death? Great. No problem. I embrace that. All Peter and James and Philip and Andrew had to do was say, just kidding, and they would have lived. The early Christians, just kidding. We recant. He didn't rise from the dead. We deny it. But they didn't. They said, no, we know what we saw, and we are willing to die for it. Today, some will say, well, you know, some of it looked just like Jesus was crucified. Others will say the swoon theory, S-W-O-O-N. Jesus was just really sick. They took him out. They dressed him back up again, and he got better. So there's always going to be a counter argument for a miracle, right? So what about you? What does the Easter mystery, Jesus Christ rising from the dead, mean for you? For me, it means that my sins are forgiven. It means that suffering has meaning because suffering can be redemptive. It means that my earthly death is not the end, but rather just the beginning. On average, we live 78 years in the United States. Compare that to eternal life. Our life here is a snap in the larger expanse of time. But for the most important thing it tells me is the extent that my God loves me. My God loves me so much that he came, took my flesh, took my nature, and died a brutal death so that I could have eternal life. So these next 2 weeks of Lent, take the following question to prayer. What does Jesus' rising from the dead really mean for me? What does it really mean for you? Take some time over these next couple weeks preparing for Easter and say, wow, what does that mean? How does that change my life? How does that inform every aspect of my life? And then say, Lord, speak to me so that on Easter Sunday, I can truly rejoice in you rising from the dead.